Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
1 Corinthians chapter 15. The gospel is described this way. He says, "I want to remind you of what I already passed on to you as of first importance." And he begins to describe the gospel. He says, "It is this gospel by which you're saved." And he says, "Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures." And we're not going to be focused in 1 Corinthians 15 today, but I wanted to share that passage by way of introduction. I want to share another one by way of introduction also, and that is from Luke chapter 24. Jesus meets up with some fellows who are really discouraged because he's been crucified, and they don't recognize him after he's risen from the dead. And in Luke 24, beginning in verse 25, he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself." We're going to talk this morning about some of the Old Testament Scriptures, two in particular, that point ahead to Jesus coming. And the first one that we're going to look at is in Micah chapter 5. This is the one, we saw this earlier in our study of Matthew, this is the one that the scholars pointed to when the wise men were asking, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews?" And Herod was all in a twitter and said, "Go look it up. Find out. Where is he supposed to be born?" And they told him, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." God says, "I'm going to bring forth the promised Messiah, the anointed king, from Bethlehem, small place, but that's where he's going to come from." That's God's plan, that's God's promise, and the Jewish people knew that that's where Messiah was to be born. So please understand, there was an awareness among the Jewish people that God had promised that he would raise up a savior for the people. But that savior was to be a king. He was to be a ruler. The one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. What does that mean? Well, they didn't understand exactly what it meant. But remember, Jesus will say later in conversation with the people, "Before Abraham was, I am," taking the very name of God for himself, "I am," and yet also saying, "I was around before Abraham." Before Abraham was, "I am." So Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise that a ruler would come from Bethlehem. They knew there were many, many promises. Well, some of the most beautiful and some of the most important come to us in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, look in Isaiah chapter 9. This is where our focus will be today. Isaiah chapter 9. This is God's word. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea, along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. As our financial year comes to a close on December 31st, we would be especially grateful to hear from you. This broadcast is funded by the generosity of God's people. And whether you use the postal service or give securely online by going to pastorwood.org or call us at 866-41-ABIDE. In any case, we're grateful for gifts large and small. Every gift matters. And we're trusting God to reward you. He promised he will.
Now, folks, when you and I talk about what God has done by sending Jesus Christ, we focus, and it is appropriate for us to focus, on the fact that he did what we could never do. He took the punishment for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God. I couldn't die for my wife's sins, even though I love her and would be willing to die for her today. If there was something I could do in order to save her, I would gladly lay down my life. I would be willing to lay down my life for my children. I love them that much. But I can't die in their place when it comes to forgiveness of sins. And the reason is, I've sinned also. And because I've sinned, I can't be the substitute who pays for their sins. Jesus is the only person who ever lived a sinless life. And therefore, he was able to offer his life as the perfect sacrifice for ours. It is right for us to focus on that. But it doesn't stop there. The purpose of his dying and being raised to life was not just so that we could be forgiven. It is so that we could be reconciled to God and live as part of his kingdom. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter what? The kingdom of God. God's purpose is that we would live as we were created to live under his rule and reign. He's the king. And if you think Jesus died so that you could be forgiven and keep on doing your own thing, you have completely misunderstood the gospel. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the ruler. And so look at this passage again. This is the promise of the coming Messiah, and look at how he's described. Verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." What's the first thing said about the child? He's going to rule. He's going to govern. He's going to be in charge. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. It can be translated Wonderful Counselor or Wonderful Counselor. One of the reasons why there's an inclination to add a comma, they don't occur there in the Hebrew. I mean, they don't occur anywhere in the Hebrew. But one of the reasons that there's the thought of adding the comma there between Wonderful and Counselor is because when we see the pre-incarnate Christ in the Old Testament, Jacob is wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And Jacob says, "Tell me your name." He says, "Why do you want to know my name?" "It is Wonderful." The word that he uses there is the same word that's used here. And so the idea is that that was one of the many times when, before Jesus became a man, God the Son came and interfaced with his people in order to accomplish his purpose. His name is Wonderful. Not just saying it's a really great name, it's saying that is one of his names. Wonderful. Wonderful. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Imagine calling this child Mighty God. That seems blasphemous to the Pharisees. The chief priest says, "What other evidence do we need? You've heard the blasphemy yourself. He deserves to die." And yet their scriptures said that the child would be called Mighty God. That's our Lord Jesus. He's not only a man, he is God Almighty. And you and I need to realize that's who we're dealing with. Don't think you can push him around. Don't think that he's just sweetly trying to get you to do the right thing. He is the commander in chief. He is the ruler of all things. He is able to say to the storm, "Be quiet." And the storm instantly obeys. And his disciples who are in the boat say, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Well, this is who it is. He is the Mighty God. Don't forget it. When you see a picture of a baby in a manger, it's a beautiful thing. But don't forget who we're talking about. God became a man. God became one of us. That's what makes it so amazing. It's not just a sweet story. It's not just sentiment. The creator of the universe became one of us, a part of the creation, in order to redeem us and make us a new creation. This is the miracle. So he is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Now think about this, because some of you haven't had the best kind of relationship with your father. Your relationship with your dad hasn't been what it should be. Well, there is a father who loves you and who loves you perfectly. And he will never leave you or forsake you. He will never lie to you. He will never abuse you or mistreat you. He will never fail to provide for you. He will always be there for you. Jesus, the child who was promised, will be called Everlasting Father. Well, I thought there are three persons in the Trinity. There's the Father, and then there's the Son. Yes, but Jesus said in John chapter 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? He is the exact representation of the Father's likeness. So if you want to know, what is my Heavenly Father like? He's just like Jesus. He's just like Jesus. Compassionate, kind, faithful, true, patient, loving. In fact, he is love incarnate. He is the Everlasting Father, and that's where you need to set your affection. That's where you need to focus your confidence, because other people will let us down. I have seven children, and I have tried to be a good father to them. But the best thing I've done for them is to try and teach them to trust their Heavenly Father. Because as much as I want to be a good dad, I am far from perfect. And I want them to know the one who is perfect, absolutely perfect, totally trustworthy, totally dependable, never makes a mistake. In the book of Hebrews, we read about discipline. Our earthly fathers disciplined us for a while as they thought best. But our Heavenly Father exercises perfect discipline, and he always gets it right. Earthly fathers don't always get it right. The best earthly father doesn't always get it right. But God always gets it right. You can trust him. He's never going to do the wrong thing. God never, ever has to say, oops. God loves you. He loves you. And he wants you to know it. And that's why he sent Jesus, is because he loves you. So he is the Everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. Now Jesus says in one place, don't think I've come to bring peace but a sword. He's talking there about the effect in the short term of people deciding whether they're going to follow Jesus or not. Some are going to follow Jesus. Some are going to be opposed to Jesus. And those who are opposed to Jesus are going to be opposed to those who follow Jesus. But the long-term result is going to be peace. It's going to be peace. And you and I can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the Prince of Peace. Now, back in verse 6, it says the government will be on his shoulders. Guess what it says in verse 7? Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. In other words, more and more and more and more we will see the reign of Jesus. Right now, a lot of people are wondering about the future of our country because there's so much evidence in what's going on around us in the country that lots of people are hostile toward truth, hostile toward righteousness, hostile toward biblical morality. And if that's the case, then isn't Christianity just going to shrivel up and die? Far from it. All around the globe, all over this planet, the body of Christ is growing. People are getting saved. Lives are being changed. And while in some countries things are not good, in this world, God's reign is becoming greater and greater and greater. And the only reason that our Lord Jesus has not returned already is because we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, he wants to give more opportunity for people to be saved. He's giving time for people to be saved. So, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Next thing said about him, he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Jesus not only is going to increasingly manifest his rule over creation, but it'll never end. He is the king forever. And the way he reigns is with justice and righteousness. Have you ever felt like people who were in charge weren't doing what was fair? I know you've never felt that here, but have you ever felt as if it's not fair what they do? It's not fair the way I'm treated. It's not fair what happened. It's not fair the way that person was treated. It's not fair what happened. It's not just. You know what? With Jesus, there's not going to be any injustice. Jesus will always do what is right. Always. And not only will he do what is right, he's going to establish righteousness. He's going to make it so that that's the way things run. Things operate with righteousness and justice. And he's going to keep it that way forever. Well, that sounds really wonderful. I mean, doesn't that sound wonderful? To be a part of a kingdom where everything that's done is just and righteous, it's fair, it's kind, it's merciful, it's gracious. Doesn't that sound like a good place to live? How are we going to get there? How are we going to see that come to pass? Is it all of us getting together and holding hands and singing and that's going to bring it about? No, it says the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In other words, God's going to get the job done. God will get the job done. And folks, that is why we can rejoice. That's why we can celebrate. Is because God promised that he would do this. And if you look at what happened with Jesus, he fulfilled prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. But there are some things that are yet remaining to happen. And those things have to do with his coming again. When he comes again, he will not be coming to appeal to people to surrender their lives. When Jesus comes again, he will come as the conquering king, as the warrior, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You don't want to wait until then to get it right. You don't want to wait until Jesus returns and then say, oh, I should have believed in you. It'll be too late at that point. You want to be among those who are longing for his return, because you have already surrendered your life to him and you're seeking to do his will. But right now you have the opportunity to say, Jesus, I know I've sinned and I need not only your forgiveness, but I need you to reign over me, to rule over me, to be my boss, to be in control of my life. Please forgive my sins and be my Lord. I want you to be in charge. I've made a mess of things. I do the wrong thing, but I want you to take charge of my life. Please, be my Savior and Lord. If you're asking God to do that in your life, I guarantee you on the authority of God's word, he will answer that prayer. He will do that. He promised he would. That's how I know he will. He always keeps his promises. Don't miss your opportunity. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ, as he loves you, and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.